Please sit down. And if you've got your Bible in your hand still, please turn back to Psalm 15. It's there on page 546. Now, during the summer holidays, we're having a short preaching series from the Psalms, starting with Psalm 15. And as it says in the title, it is a Psalm of David, like many of the Psalms. And this helps us, because David was the king who made Jerusalem his capital and recognized that Jerusalem was the place which symbolized most powerfully God living amongst his people. And so the mention of the tent in verse 1, the tabernacle tent, which had represented God living amongst his people while they took the wilderness journey from Egypt, slavery, to the promised land, that tent was in Jerusalem, while plans were made to build a temple in its stead. And if you were summarizing the part of Jerusalem where God had pitched his tent amongst his people, then it would be Mount Zion, that hill in the center of Jerusalem, which reminded the Old Testament people of God that God chose to live amongst his people, in the center of them, close to them. Now, as God's New Testament people, we know things are a little different for us, but we do know that God is looking forward to dwelling with all his people in heaven. Not on a hill in the old Jerusalem now, but around the Lord's throne in the new Jerusalem. Heaven is God's place to gather all his people in close fellowship with him. And so as we apply the psalm to us, ourselves, and our times, we're helped by that context. And here's the rub. Here's the rub of the psalm and its relevance to us. Not everyone is in that number. Many people can be sure that they are set for a place in heaven with God. They shall not be moved, as this psalm finishes up. That's the punchline of the psalm. And what it's saying is you can know assurance in these things. You can know for sure in these things. This is one of the psalms that inspired that song. What is it? We shall not be moved. I won't sing too much. Seeing relief on people's face. But that song is a real encouragement to faithful people, because it reminds us of the basis of our assurance of a place in heaven. And this is a psalm which has that assurance as its punchline. At the same time, it's pointing out that while many can be sure they'll be there, there are many who will not be there. Then that's the rub. And so here in Psalm 15, we start with the question. Verse 1, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Who? Who will be the ones living in God's place? Or as a New Testament person would ask, who goes to be with God in heaven? Now, I know again, as a New Testament reader, that the person who goes to heaven is the one who believes Jesus Christ, who takes him at his word and gives his heart and soul to the Lord Jesus. But I, in my experience, still need to ask the question, because all sorts of people might say they do that. However, not everyone who says it will be there with the Lord. Jesus made that clear himself. He says there are people who say, Lord, Lord, but they don't show the fruits. It's by their fruits you'll know them, said Jesus. By their fruits we will know who is heading to God's place. So then the question becomes, what fruits? What sort of fruits? What actions and attitudes should we look for if we're looking for those who are being changed for the better because they are following Jesus? And Psalm 15 is a psalm which helps us with the sort of fruits to look out for. It's not an exhaustive list. There are several lists in the Bible, but they're not exhaustive. They're just indicative. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 is a similar list. Blessed are those who, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Psalm 15 just saying these sort of things matter. Look out for these sorts of fruits. So let's go through. What is the bulk of the psalm, verses 2 to 5? First of all, blameless and true character. Verse 2, those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart. The Hebrew word behind blameless is tamim, which is actually a more positive word, meaning wholehearted or sound. Those who walk soundly. And then the word translated right, do what is right, means right according to God's revealed right and wrong. And then the mention of truth does just not mean correct. It means trustworthy, such that you can put your faith in it. So someone who acts with a sound character according to God's right and wrong and who is trustworthy, that's the sort of fruit to look for. Secondly, restrained and truthful words. The end of verse 2 has told us to look out for the positive, people who speak the truth from their heart. So they speak the truth and because it's in here, not just because they're double-minded. They've got integrity. They're saying what they think, saying what they feel, and speak the truth. And then verse 3 gives examples of the negative, if you like. To understand something, you need to know the positive and the negative. So verse 3, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends and nor take up a reproach against their neighbors. So slander is telling lies about people, speaking things about people that aren't right, sort of gossip, which is implying things which are not the truth. And then do no evil to their friends. Their friend is used in the widest sense, like my letter on the front of the notice sheet. Sometimes I put dear friends, and it's to everyone. Everyone who comes. So in the widest sense, who do no evil to their friends, all of those around us, and then nor take up a reproach against their neighbours, that's about raking up old muck or resurrecting a slur against someone. The person showing the fruit of knowing the Lord won't do that stuff. Or if they do, they'll confess it, humble themselves, and put things right. The fruit to look for is restrained and truthful words. And then thirdly, clear and true allegiance. Verse 4. In whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honour those who fear the Lord. So one of God's people will honour other people who fear the Lord and choose not to admire the wicked, but be put off by their wickedness, not attracted to it. It's a question of loyalty to those who are God's people, truly God's people, with godly attitudes and actions. And then the final chunk of these attitudes and actions, which are the fruit to look for, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Honourable and true dealings. How do we deal with people? Do we keep our word, even when it turns out to our great disadvantage? If we're honourable and true, we will. Do we lend to others generously so that they're not having to pay unreasonable interest rates back to us? If we're honourable and true, we will. Do we go along with trickery and financial scheming which targets the innocent? No, we don't. If we're honourable and true. The fruit to look for is honourable and true dealing. So you get a feel for the sorts of things which matter, the sort of things to look for. By their fruit you shall know them, said Jesus. Not just the ones who say the right sort of thing, who will join me in heaven, he says. It's the ones who do what God's word says. These are the sorts of things which point to a person who has put their trust in Jesus and is living their life for him. And someone like that can have great assurance of their place in heaven. We shall not be moved. Not just assurance, strong assurance. You see the end of verse 5. The Hebrew is better translated. You see it says, those who do these things shall never be moved. Well, that's true. That's a fair translation, but it doesn't quite bring out the strength in the Hebrew, because the Hebrew, the word order is different. The never is on the end, and actually it's an ever, so it should sound like this. Those who do these things shall not be moved ever. You see, there's a difference, isn't there, by the way you put the words. And that's the strength of the encouragement that this psalm finishes with in its punchline, which is no doubt why it has inspired a song that's deep in the hearts of lots of God's faithful people, because it's a reminder of what's important, a reminder that nothing need cause us to wobble about our assurance of salvation and our place in God's heaven with the Lord. What a great psalm. Good to sing when we're gathered together. Good to sing or say when we're on our own. What a helpful reminder to have going through your head when you're doing the ironing or driving the car or waiting for the bus. Or sorting out the latest problem. Here's a song, a psalm, to help us remember the great assurance God gives his people. It's good to sing it, good to say it. And if we need the reminder, then let's say it often. It's a good thing about a memorable little psalm. Like we might sing the songs that are our favorites in the kitchen or in the car. Let's say the psalms which best minister to our soul often. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Psalm 15. Thank you for the way in which your word ministers to our soul. Please help us take assurance from your word. Please help us take challenge as well as comfort. Please help us lead by leading us down your paths and enabling us to lead others. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.